Turning your Bibles this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 8. And I'm going to ask you to stand one more time as we read God's Word together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning verse 8. In this passage, Paul writes to young Timothy and gives him the qualifications of a deacon, of a pastor. And then in verse 8, he gives the qualifications of a deacon. He said, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons attain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Again, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts now from your holy word. May we respond to your truth. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are ordaining two men to serve as deacons in our church, and it's important that I think we both know the history and the background of this great event. A little boy was asking Sunday school class one time, you know, different words have been used over the life and history of the church to describe the various offices within the church, and a little boy was asking Sunday school class, what is the difference between a bishop, a priest, and a deacon? And the little boy answered, he said, "Well, I don't know what a bishop is. I've never seen one of those." He said, "A priest, I think, is a man in the Old Testament that used to serve God. And a deacon is that thing that sits on the seashore and blinks a light at night." Now, we used to sing a little song, a little chorus, "You can't be a beacon with a B, if your light don't shine." You remember that song? You do. Some of you don't. I have a clue. Well, I'd like to change the B to a D. You can't be a deacon if your light don't shine. You need to let your light shine. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit to the deacons. Not only those who are going to be ordained this morning, but those who are now serving as deacons within our body. But I didn't do what I normally do with the sermon outline this morning. I'm just giving you a block of information. You write down what you feel like is important. I'm not doing fill in the blank this morning, but if you want to take some notes, I want to share with you, first of all, the background of the office of deacon. Now, in Acts chapter 6, it gives us a story of the outline of the early church. And the early church was a growing church, and it presented some problems of its own. And the apostles were trying to take care. There were just a handful of apostles. You remember, actually, two handfuls. So there were 12 of them. And they were trying to take care of all the responsibilities of the church. But that early church, on the day of Pentecost, they had 5,000 souls saved, 3,000. A few weeks later, they had 5,000 more. So immediately, you got 8,000 members that 12 apostles are trying to take care of, plus others who have become part of the church since that time. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 that the Grecian widows, which those are of Greek background, Greek-speaking Jews that were from outside of Jerusalem but had been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, that these widows, their needs were not being met, but those who are of Jewish mindset and background, Jewish-speaking, Hebrew-speaking widows, their needs were being met. And the disciples didn't know how to handle that. The apostles didn't know what to do. And so they came together and had a consultation with the Lord. And they decided to set aside a group of men who would serve in the church to take care of those widows and to meet the needs. Now, Acts chapter 6 does not use the word deacon to describe them. But most Bible scholars, when they look at it, they say that this was the beginning of deacons, and it came as a result of a solution to a problem. They said, "We do not want the apostles to move away from prayer and teaching of the word to take care of the needs of the congregation. We want deacons to do that." And so they provided a solution. And in Acts chapter 6, it says they elected deacons. Now, the word deacon literally means servant. Diakonos is the Greek word, and it means one who serves. It describes their activity. It's not a position of honor. It's not necessarily a position of leadership, though in our church, deacons are looked to for leadership. But in that early church, it was primarily, Acts chapter 6, it was not a position of honor. It was not a position of leadership. It was not a popularity contest. It was a position of service. But because of their service, they definitely became leaders in the church. When you look at those early apostles, Stephen was the first martyr of the church. He was also one of the first deacons. Philip was one of the first evangelists in the church. He was also one of the first deacons. He went to Samaria and preached the gospel. Hundreds, thousands got saved in Samaria. He was the one who went to the wilderness to talk to the Ethiopian eunuch and led him to Christ. So even though they were not elected to these positions because of their leadership, because they were elected to these positions, they became leaders in the church. But that is the background. It was a solution to the problem of a growing church. But as the early church looked for men to elect, there were certain characteristics that were described. They said, when you look for men to elect in this position, call out men from among you. It's what it says in Acts chapter 6. In other words, don't get some stranger you've never seen or observed. Find someone who's in your midst, someone who is already active in the fellowship, someone who's a part of what you're doing. Call out from among you one to serve in this capacity. And look for those who are full of wisdom. Wisdom is the knowledge of the will and the work and the word of God. Wisdom is not intelligence. Wisdom is knowing the word of God and applying it to everyday life and experience. It says, look out from among you those who are full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Controlled, directed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the expectations of deacons were they were to be fair to those widows who were in need. They were to be fair to all. They were to be fair in their distribution. They were to not neglect anyone. They were to be dependable and they were to be loving. And then they give us this process for selecting deacons in Acts chapter 6. It says, seek them out, which literally means to examine them carefully, to inspect thoroughly. And these men who are serving today are going to be ordained today. We asked them, you elected them almost a year ago. And then we give them a 6-month trial run to see if this is something they want to do. And in the past, there have been others who have stepped back and said, no, we feel like at this particular time in our life, God does not want us to continue in this capacity. And these men are coming today saying, we feel like God wants us to move forward in this capacity. But the process for selecting deacons in the early church was to seek them out. And that meant to examine them carefully, to inspect thoroughly. And the choice came from the congregation, not the apostles. And that's exactly the way we do it here at our church. You nominate, and then we talk to those you nominate to see if they're willing to serve. And then you approve, and you did that early this year. You approved these men that you nominated. And the result was the church grew as a result of the men serving in their capacity that God had called them to serve in, that early church grew. And that's our hope and our desire, is that we can be more effective in growing the church and ministering to the church and serving the church by having these men on board. Well, that gives us a little bit of the background and the history. But now I also want us to move back to this chapter that I've read this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Because in this passage, it tells us what a deacon must be, but also what a deacon must do. And I want to deal with the first one. What a deacon must be, his character. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it gives us some of those characteristics. It says in verse 8, deacon likewise must be men of dignity. Oh yes, I'm so dignified. That's not what it's talking about. Some translations say reverent. honorable, men of honor, worthy of disciplined conduct. This word is only used 4 times in the entire New Testament, and it literally means every time a person who's worthy of honor and respect. So their character, a deacon's character should be such that they are worthy of honor and respect to their friends and their church. The second one is holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. In other words, you hold it, you cling to it, you practice it. A deacon is to practice what he preaches. He is to live out the implications of the Christian life in his daily life. He's not to say one thing and do another. It also says that these men, verse 10, they must first be tested. Tested is the idea of being found blameless. Not perfect, but blameless. In other words, they must not be involved in activities that bring disrepute to the name of Christ or His church. And remember, they are called deacons, verse 10. And then let them serve as deacons. And it's almost a redundancy there because the word serve and deacon means the same thing. Deacon is the office, but deacon is also what you do. Deacons deek. Deacons serve. Because that's what the word means. They are to be men who serve the church. And then he gives qualifications to you wives. The New American Standard said women must also be likewise dignified, but this is a reference to the woman who's the wife of the deacon, most Bible scholars believe, because it gives qualifications that are in addition to that those that have been previously stated in verses 8 through 10. Their wives are to be reverent as well, or people of dignity as well, people who are honorable as well, people who have disciplined conduct as well. Then it says they're husbands of one wife. That means that they hold the marriage relationship as important. You see, the marriage relationship between a husband and wife is to portray Christ's relationship with the church, and this is no small matter in God's sight. It's important that the marriage relationship, the marriage bond, be strong, be true. And so they should have strong marriages in their relationship with one another. It goes on to say they are to rule their children and houses well. Look at what he says, verse 12. Good managers of their children and of their own households. In other words, a man should be of good reputation in his business life and in his family life. This is what a deacon should be, must be, his character. The third thing, what a deacon must do, or I should say must not do. Because here Paul gives some behaviors that deacons should avoid. And one of the behaviors he said you should avoid is not be double-tongued. We know the old Westerns, he speaks with forked tongue. I never knew what that meant. But it comes out of the scripture where you speak out of both sides of your mouth. You heard that phrase? I've had a hard time doing that too. I don't know how you speak out of both sides of your mouth. By the way, I saw a sign the other day. It said, learn to play piano by ear. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Chased a rabbit. I should not have gone there. Double tongue. It means you don't say one thing and do another. It means that you don't give somebody your word and then not keep it. It means that you are who you say you are. You will do what you will say you do. It means you're committed. So he says, don't be double tongue. Don't talk like the world when you're in the world and then talk like a Christian when you're around Christians. Be consistent. Be who God intended for you to be. So we're not to be double-tongued as deacons. It says you're not to be addicted to much wine. In other words, you shouldn't be a drunkard. You shouldn't have alcohol that controls you. In fact, some would go so far as to say you probably shouldn't participate at all because it could be a stumbling block for others. I'm not here to say more than what Scripture says, but I will say this. For me personally, it's easier just to say no alcohol. No alcohol. And then it doesn't become a stumbling block to those around us. But the Scripture says not addicted to wine. Third, not greedy for dishonest gain or sordid gain. In other words, a gain that's not rightfully yours. That you behave in such a manner that you receive income in a way that's not worthy of your name as a Christian. A deacon advertised a cow for sale, and he advertised it for $150, 4 gallons of milk a day. A guy showed up to buy the guy's cow, the deacon's cow, and he said, "How do I know she will give that much milk?" And he said, "You can trust me, I'm a Baptist deacon." And the guy responded. He said, "Well, I'm going to buy your cow. I'll take the cow home and I'll bring you the money back later. And you can trust me, I'm a Presbyterian elder." When the deacon went into his house and asked his wife, he said, "What is a Presbyterian elder?" She said, "About the same thing as a Baptist deacon." He goes, "Oh no, I think I just lost my cow." You see, a lot of times we have reputations that we shouldn't have. The first car my brother ever bought was from a Baptist deacon. The guy made a promise and a guarantee he did not keep. And it reflected upon his position as a leader in his church. It reflected on his faith. And ultimately reflected poorly on Christ. Deacons, make sure you walk in such a way that your behavior does not reflect poorly on Christ. The fourth thing I want to say is to the church. As we ordain these deacons, you have some responsibilities as well. You have the responsibility to choose your deacons well. Acts chapter 6, choose from among you. Choose your deacons well. Secondly, you should pray for your deacons much. When people take positions of leadership within the church, the devil comes after them, I want you to know. And so you need to pray God's hedge of protection around those men and women, those husbands and wives who serve as your deacons in their families. The third thing you need to do is be willing to call your deacons when you're in need. When you need prayer, when you need a conversation, when you need to talk. Pastor Jim and I are available, but I'll be honest, I hope our church grows so large we can't handle all the needs. Because I want to see more people come to Christ. I want to see more people come to faith in Christ, so much so that it's beyond the ability of two pastors to handle. Don't you? Our responsibility is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry of service. So do not hesitate to call on your deacons in times of need, to pray with them, to talk with them. Every one of our active families and attenders, if you're in our Sunday school role, if you're on our membership list, we have an address for you. You're assigned a deacon who's responsible for you and to you. Don't hesitate to call. And fourth, hold them accountable, servant leaders of the church. Hold them accountable. Encourage them, but also hold them accountable. The office of a deacon is a high and holy office. It's to be held in respect and honor by those who hold that office, but also by the rest of the church. The office of deacon should never be trivialized or minimized. I want to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." When deacons do their duty, the gospel is heard, the kingdom of God is advanced. And that's our prayer, that that's exactly what will happen in our church as these men serve.